The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy. I am always encouraged when I visit with my next guest because he has this funny habit of helping me turn my eyes back to the one where the real hope comes from. That hope is found in Jesus. But Senior Pastor Max Lucado rejoins us. And I love the fact that you are still a pastor, Max, not just a best-selling author or a speaker or somebody that people may see or hear on media somewhere. I love the fact that you're active in local church ministry and you're still getting your hands wet in the day-to-day work of loving on people. And I think that helps, I think, people really know that what you're saying is rooted in reality and therefore even more hopeful. But your new book is called You Are Never Alone. And at maxlucado.com, they've even got an online Bible study that you can go through with that kind of talks about the same things. But Max, welcome back to Kevin McCullough. It's good to have you.
Oh, Kevin, man, I'm sure thinking of you. And, you know, typically when you and I have this conversation, we're there in your studios
right
in the city. And I miss it. I miss seeing you. I miss seeing Alex. I miss seeing your whole team. How are you guys holding up? I know it's just such a bizarre season for all of you.
Max, to be candid, you wouldn't recognize New York City right now. It is, I don't think hellscape is too strong of a word for what the city has been turned into. And between the ginormous, you know, expansion in crime to the just general shutdown of just boarded up building after building, and just the difference that you, when you've come all those times to Manhattan, you've always seen a very bubbling and effervescent operation. It's a very different
yeah
place right now, and we covet your prayers, and we covet your prayers for the churches here. You know, there's 8,000 bodies of Christ that are all part of the following of Jesus in this area, and they are being asked to step into ministry in ways that they've never been before. And I think it's a challenge in a lot of ways, but I think that there's also some great spiritual fruit that may come from this as well. But we will have to wait and see what God does through all that. But that brings us to the topic of your book, because this is a work that is kind of focused at people that are going through what we're dealing with, no?
Yeah. It is. It is. And Kevin, in God's kind providence, you know, as you know, when you write a book, you start on it, you know, at least I do, 18 months or 2 years before the release date. And this series of messages on a relationship with God that takes care of our loneliness way predates pandemic. As you said, I'm still a pastor, and I was preaching through the Gospel of John, and I noticed how the miracles of Christ so speak to a sense of isolation, powerlessness, and fatigue that people have, that I took those miracles and I turned those miracles, the study of those miracles, into this book, focusing on loneliness. And then lo and behold, when I was doing the final edits last spring, that's when all the lockdowns happened. And that's when the isolation, the hunker down, the bunker down really began. And I realized that our Heavenly Father was way ahead of us on this. And he had prepared this as one of the ways, the many ways that he's going to help us through this season, just by talking to us about loneliness through the miracles of the Gospel of John.
Well, let's delve into some of what you unearthed, because I know that one of the things that I've recently kind of reflected on is that, you know, we don't have a lot of familiarity with pestilence in the modern day, but it seems like throughout Scripture that there is a lot of pestilence. and pandemic and sickness and incurable disease and other things that mm-hmm. while they may not have show themselves now, that Jesus certainly mm-hmm. was trying to get us to understand that there may be seasons where we do face something very similar to what we've gone through. Mm-hmm. And the Bible, in its inestimable wisdom, is pragmatic towards this season as well.
Mm. You know, you would think, wouldn't you, that Jesus on earth would be oblivious or protected from any type of exposure to problems or pain. But the beauty of the incarnation, the message of the incarnation, is that he entered our world and became so close, so intimately acquainted with our pain that he touched lepers, mm-hmm. That he wiped away tears, that he entered cemeteries, that he saw hungry people, you know, maybe as many as 15,000 hungry people, and he fed them. He even, you know, responded to the need of a wineless wedding. So the miracles run the gamut, Kevin, from something as seemingly inconsequential as a wedding that had no more wine, to the fact that his dear friend Lazarus was dead and buried for 4 days. So from one extreme to the other, as far as gravity goes. Yet the Gospels tell us that Jesus walked right into the middle of this human suffering.
Well, he certainly didn't run away from it, right? I mean, that's one of the great joys and hopes that the Gospel brings us, is that he is there with us in the midst of it. We're speaking with Max Lucado. Max, you know, one of the things that has really broken my heart is the amount of sadness of people taking their own life early because of the pressures that this pandemic has brought.
Could it be that we can have a relationship with Jesus that is as intimate and as life-giving as a relationship with a spouse in a healthy marriage or a friend in a wonderful friendship? But this is the invitation, I think, that Scripture posits, and that is our God wants to be our best friend. Mm. And just look at the language. He presents himself as our Father. He presents himself as our Savior. He presents himself as the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And so while I would never want anybody to be cut off, I mean, nobody, all of us who have experienced that in the last few months, we know how unhappy and potentially unhealthy that can be. But maybe this connection that we're having physically with others will allow us to explore the possibility of a relationship with God that is so vibrant and so personal that it truly can be our source of strength and our source of life.
Life-giving, yeah.
The miracles of Jesus, the Gospel says, were written so that we may have, that we might believe, and in believing have life in his name. And I think that's what we all so crave, and that is that life, that vibrant, life-giving joy that God offers.
I couldn't agree with you more. The name of the book is You Are Never Alone. Max Lucado, our guest, is its author, and you can get that right now. You can pre-order it right now. But then there's also, and I want people to be aware of this, if you go to maxlucado.com, you can actually join for free an online Bible study that will begin on October the 19th and work through the miracles of Jesus to help find God's presence in seasons of loneliness and isolation. And this resource being made available right there online. So go to maxlucado.com and then click on the resources for You Are Never Alone, the online Bible study being led by Max Lucado in that context. Max, the miracles, as you alluded to just a second ago, cover such a broad spectrum of life. I mean, the most joyous moments that one can imagine, a wedding feast, the darkest moment that anyone can ever imagine, your best friend has died and we are mourning him, and everything in between. How did you pick which miracles to include in this particular book, or did you just decide to cover all of them?
I did. I just covered all of those that are in the Gospel of John. You know, the Gospel of John is unique. because he tells us at the end of the gospel, if I were to include all the events that happened in the life of Christ, I mean, no library is big enough to contain the volumes. But he said, I have selected these signs that you might believe, and in believing you might have life in his name. You know, every writer knows what it's like to either edit or be edited. You know, you can't put everything that you're thinking in a book, at least most of us can't, or the book becomes so massive, nobody's going to read it, and so incoherent, nobody should read it. And so we know what it's like to edit. We edit our thoughts down to the ones that matter the most. John did this. He self-edited. So of all the things that he witnessed, he said, I'm going to pick the ones that will help people have life. The Gospel of John is famous for seven signs. I added to it, I also included the sign of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and also the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus at the Sea of Galilee, because I think those are miracles as well.
Sure.
But however you put a list together, John gives us just a wonderful go-to collection of miracles. And like you say, they run the gamut. Everything from saving a family friend from social embarrassment at a wedding, all the way to feeding 15,000 people, all the way to raising Lazarus from the dead, all the way to helping a man whose son is near death and healing that son. So I believe each of these miracles gives us a promise. And as we study these miracles, we walk away with a deeper understanding of who God is and what he is, in what he wants to be in our life.
Well, I don't want.
Sometimes he still does these miracles. Sometimes he gives us even greater miracles. Sometimes he's patient with us and tells us to wait and to grow in this season of struggle. Hmm. So my point is not that you can convince God to do what you want. My point is to convince you that God is good and he will do what is right.
Well, and that's a significant difference, and it's one that we need to hear clearly. We're speaking with Max Lucado, and the book is You Are Never Alone, and you can go to maxlucado.com and get the book and the resources. You can join the Bible study that will start on October the 19th. Max, I don't want to, you worked really hard on the book, a couple of years worth of your life. I don't want you to give it all away for free, but give us an example of one of the miracles and encourage us today, because there's a good possibility, at least in the New York area, that somewhere in an apartment building, somewhere isolated from everyone else with no family and no one else around, there's someone listening right now that could use a little sign of hope, a little encouragement. So if there was one miracle that you would just kind of break down for us here on the show, what would it be?
Okay. And can I preface it by saying I love New York City. I love New Jersey. I've always cherished my times there. And it breaks my heart. It really does. It breaks my heart to envision what you're describing. And to imagine, I've just seen it on television. I've not been able. In fact, Kevin, my last trip before all this happened was the weekend of February the 29th. I was in New York City. Leap year had one more day.
That's
this was
right.
Leap year. And so I remember thinking, oh, it's March 1st. Then I looked at my calendar and said, oh, no, it's February 29th. I was still in New York City. Well, if you recall, that's when all of this was hitting.
Yep.
We were getting newscasts and broadcasts, and it was beginning. So my last trip was to your wonderful, wonderful city. So all that to say, yeah, these miracles. I think if I could take a minute and walk somebody through a miracle of a father whose son was near death. The father lived in a town called Capernaum. Jesus was 20 miles away in a town called Cana. The father left the bedside of his dying son, made that long journey, asked Jesus if Jesus would heal his son. And Jesus said, go home. No, let me back up. He asked Jesus, would you come home with me and heal my son? And Jesus said, your son will live. Your son will live. So it's fascinating. The man's request was, come home with me and heal my son. Jesus said, I'm going to heal your son, but I'm not going to go home with you. And so the man had to make a decision. Had I been there, I would have said, oh, come with me. make the journey with me. 20 miles I'll have to walk, not knowing what the outcome is. Please come with me. But the scripture says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And he began that 20-mile hike. And, you know, I think many of us are right there in between an offered prayer and an answered prayer. We ask Jesus for help, and we're somewhere between Cana and Capernaum. Well, because the man responded, because he took Jesus at his word, the next day, as he was getting close to his house, his servants came out and told him the son was healthy. And he asked him, what time did this happen? And they told him the time, and the man said, well, that's exactly when I asked Jesus for help. And as a result, the entire family came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. So I'd like to speak to that person who has, you know, you've made your appeal. You've spoken to Christ. You asked him for help. There you were in Cana. And by faith, he's saying, now you just trust me. You just trust me. And you head home. You keep walking. And I like to tell people, just walk in the direction of an answered prayer. Hmm. Just walk in the direction of answered prayer. Believe that Christ is going to do something special. Will he do exactly what you want? That's out of our pay grade. We can place our request, but we know he will do what is right. We do know he'll do what is important. So to those of you who feel cut off from family and friends and maybe feel cut off from God, would you please walk in the direction of an answered prayer? Would you please just believe something good is going to happen? Don't give in to despair. Don't give in to fear. Walk by faith. Your prayer has been heard in heaven, and it's just a matter of time before you see the answer.
Hmm. Good stuff. And friends, that's just one of the miracles included in Max Lucado's new book, You Are Never Alone. It's a study of the book of John and the miracles contained therein. And it's designed to help you find God's presence in this very season that we're living through. Whether that includes loneliness or isolation or struggle, these are going to be practical and applicable, hopeful words for your life. And I hope that you will check that out. Go to Max Lucado, LUCADO.com. And then also join them for the October 19th start to the You Are Never Alone online Bible study. I'm excited about that, Max. I think God will do good things through that. As always, we appreciate you being with us, and thank you for taking the time today to encourage us.
I just hope next time it's in person, my friend. You stay safe, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Done deal on that one. we'll enjoy a good handshake and a hug on that day. Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.